For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is Elizabeth Elliot saying, I believe in miracles too, because I believe in God. The sort of miracle that God is always working, I've seen many of. Those are the slower kind, a little bit less visible, much less dramatic. It takes eyes to see them. The kind of miracle I'm talking about is transformation. Weakness into strength. Sorrow into joy. Poverty into riches. And bitterness into sweetness. To me, those are the most astonishing miracles. They're not done quickly. They're not done instantaneously and dramatically and publicly. But to the eye that can see them, to the heart that has been praying and waiting for these miracles, they are visible. They are discernible. And God is in that business. He is sovereign, and He knows how to do that. How to turn the evil of the world into the blessings of His kingdom. A few years ago, I was in that war-torn city of Belfast, Ireland. It was heartbreaking to see the damage to the buildings, the barbed wire in certain areas of the city, the barriers, the slogans, the graffiti on the walls. And while I was there, it happened that my regular reading of the Old Testament fell in the book of the prophet Habakkuk. And it was very fitting. These are the words that I read. How long, O Lord, have I cried to thee unanswered? I cry violence, but thou dost not save. Why dost thou let me see such misery? Why countenance wrongdoing? Devastation and violence confront me. Strife breaks out. Discord raises its head. And so law grows effete. Justice does not come forth victorious, for the wicked outwit the righteous. And so justice comes out perverted. And the prophet goes on to describe the terrible things that are happening, terror and awe, vultures swooping, armies advancing, violence, captives, kings held in derision, fortresses ruined. Art thou not from of old, O Lord, my God, the holy, the immortal? O mighty God, thou who hast destined them to chastise, thou whose eyes are too pure to look upon evil and who canst not countenance wrongdoing, why dost thou countenance the treachery of the wicked? Why keep silent when they devour men more righteous than they? And as I stood there in the streets of Belfast and thought of the terrible conflict that has been going on there for so many years, and as I talked with people who seemed to feel that there was no hope, no possibility of any resolution of that conflict, I was tempted to ask exactly the same questions that Habakkuk asked. Why dost thou keep silent? Lord, why don't you do something? Then I came to the second chapter of Habakkuk. What does the prophet say? I will stand at my post. I will take up my position on the watchtower. I will watch to learn what he will say through me and what I shall reply when I am challenged. Then the Lord made answer, write down the vision, inscribe it on tablets, ready for a herald to carry it with speed, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. At the destined hour, it will come in breathless haste. It will not fail. If it delays, wait for it. For when it comes, will be no time to linger. That was God's answer to Habakkuk's questions. And even though Habakkuk felt frantic and terrified, He said, I will stand at my post. I will take up my position. I will watch to learn what he will say through me. You and I are not prophets. We're not likely to receive a divinely inspired message for the whole world. But we are called to watch, to be silent, to take our stand, to wait, and to listen to what God will say to us. And I believe that God gives us this promise. It's legitimate for us to receive the promise he gave to Habakkuk. Write down the vision. Wait for the vision. It will come. It will not fail. If it delays, wait for it. For when it comes, will be no time to linger. And so the prophet waited, watched to learn, and remembered that there was an appointed hour and a destined time. That, to me, is one of the thrilling aspects of the sovereignty of God. He's in charge of the timing of all things. He's the one who makes the appointments, and he is never late. We say, how long, Lord? And he says, it will come, it will not fail. I hope that those words may comfort you in your hard place today. And then Habakkuk goes on to contemplate God's power. He says, I quake, I quiver, I totter, I sigh for the day of distress to dawn over my assailants. And then he ends his book with a ringing testimony of faith. Although the fig tree does not burgeon, the vines bear no fruit, the olive crop fails, the orchards yield no food, the fold is bereft of its flock, and there are no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will exult in the Lord and rejoice in the God of my deliverance. The Lord God is my strength, who makes my feet nimble as a hind's and sets me to range the heights. What is the situation that you find yourself in today that may seem as though there isn't any solution? Or perhaps it seems that God's promises are much too long in coming. He must have forgotten. Is there a solution? Will there be an appointed time in which you will find the answer to your question, why? Take your stand and watch. Now, what does that mean? I don't expect you to go up into some ivory tower like the prophet Habakkuk. I don't expect you to be taking out a scroll and writing down dictation from the Holy Spirit, prophetic words. But I do believe that God comes to you and me, ordinary people, in our ordinary everyday lives in the 1980s. We're not talking about B.C., way back then when we don't find it hard to believe that God spoke to people. He speaks to us now. You may not be raising fig trees or olive crops. You may not have flocks or cattle in the stalls. But whatever it is that you are looking for fruit from, maybe it's even your investments, I don't know. I don't want to promise you anything very dramatic financially, because I don't know what you need. Maybe you think you need things that God doesn't think you need. And even if God is not giving you the answer you're looking for, can you testify with Habakkuk, although the fig tree does not burgeon, the vines bear no fruit, the olive crop fails, the orchards yield no food, the fold is bereft of its flock, and there are no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will exult in the Lord and rejoice in the God of my deliverance. We've been quoting from William Cooper's old hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. Here's a stanza that fits what we've been talking about today. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. God knows how to turn the bitter into sweet. It may be a slow and hidden process. The kingdom of God, we are told, is without observation. It isn't as though you and I can examine with a microscope the unfolding of the bud. There is a kind of speeded up filming that they do that you and I have seen on television and in the movies, wonderful demonstrations of the way a flower opens, but that's not the way we're given to see the working of God. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. If you're having to taste the bitter bud right now, remember that His purposes are in the process of ripening, unfolding every hour. You don't know what the outcome is going to be, but you can be sure that it will be sweet.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.